this point. Technology. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share together in your word and spend this time with each other. Lord, it's a blessing beyond measure. And we thank you. We thank you for each heart that's here. And we rejoice in you at all. Lord, be blessed as we partake of that which you provide. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Please stand as we declare the Shema together and read the word of the Lord. The Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Eloheicha, Ve'kol Levavcha, Uve'kol Neshevcha, Uve'kol Modecha, Ve'ahavta Raka Kamocha, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Our continued corporate reading of Scripture brings us this morning to the fifth chapter of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 5. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon when he heard the anointed him king in place of his father, for Hiram had always been a friend of David. Then Solomon sent word to Hiram, saying, "You know that God, David, my father, was unable to build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which surrounded him until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. And behold, I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spoke to David my father, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he will build the house for my name.' Now therefore, command that they cut for me cedars from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will give you wages for your servants according to all that you say. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." And it came about when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord who has given to David a wise son over this great people." So Hiram sent word to Solomon saying, "I have heard the message which you have sent me. I will do what you desire concerning the cedar and cypress timber. My servants will bring them down from Lebanon to the sea, and I will make them into rafts to go by sea to the place where you direct me. And I will have them broken up there, and you shall carry them away. Then you shall accomplish my desire by giving food to my household." So Hiram gave Solomon as much as he desired of the cedar and the cypress timber. Solomon then gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household and 20 cores of beaten oil. Thus Solomon would give Hiram year by year. And the Lord gave wisdom to Solomon just as he promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a covenant. Now King Solomon levied forced laborers from all Israel, and the forced laborers numbered 30,000 men, and he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month ways. They were in Lebanon a month and 2 months at home, and Adoram was over the forced laborers. Now Solomon had 70,000 transporters and 80,000 hewers of stone in the mountains, besides Solomon's 3,000 300 chief deputies who were over the project and who ruled over the people who were doing the work. Then the king commanded, and they quarried great stones, costly stones, to lay the foundation of the house with cut stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebelites cut them and prepared the timbers and the stones to build the house. Thank you, Lord, for your words of life and truth. We ask that they would accomplish everything that you intend for them in our time together as your people. Amen. Please be seated. 1 Kings 5:7. And it came about, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the Lord today, who has given David a wise son over this great people." It's a wonderful consideration in thinking of the fact that the father, David, had set up relationships that would so declare the name of Jehovah and all that God had done, and it would resonate with others. David put forth a testimony, despite his obvious shortcomings, which told the story of Yahweh to those in his sphere of influence. This was to such an extent that they would make such a declaration after the fact, as in this morning's passage. Consider that people will often say one thing to the face of a person that would probably never be said to other people. Many are the times when those statements are made between political or religious or social leaders that are merely custom and ritual and not actually the full expression of what is deep within that leader's heart or thoughts. Often, as we well know from history, what is said in public is belied in later confessions of ridicule or distaste or distrust one for the other. This is with any earlier pronouncements set forth as just matters of diplomacy or social niceties for the time at hand, without any real basis of fact or truth. However, as recounted by two of the books of the Bible, David's influence had been used to set into place the means of the construction of the temple of the Lord by that monarch's enduring legacy. One was with Hiram, the king of Tyre, from whence the lumber and the various other supplies of great value would be made available. Because the building of the temple for the glory of the Lord was so important to David, he had made every provision to stockpile what would be needed by his son Solomon. This included the establishment of those relationships which would bring forth the skilled workers of those who were able to make reality that which would honor and bless and glorify the Lord God Almighty. Solomon, as the directed heir and son who would take up the mantle of kingship after David died, was the one whom God chose to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. Accordingly, Solomon was adept through the wisdom given by God to make appropriate use of those connections and preparations from his father in order to bring this grand endeavor to its proper and magnificent conclusion. Through it all, the name of the Lord was at the forefront, never getting lost in the multitude of details that were required for the building of such a structure as designed by God himself. Even the vast need for wood from afar was attached to the fact that the king of Tyre was enthralled with the choice of Solomon to succeed his friend David on the throne. This brought forth the blessing unto the name of the Lord, by whom all had finally received the opportunity to thus show that honor and adoration to the God of Israel. This is recounted in even more detail for us in 2 Chronicles 2, verses 11 and 12. As Hiram's, a.k.a. Urim's, response is once more given in the Word of God, much more expression as to the majesty and the glory of God is evident in this account than is recounted in our 1 Kings text. 2 Chronicles 2:11 and 12. Then Huram, king of Tyre, answered in a letter sent to Solomon, "Because the Lord loves his people, he has made you king over them." Then Huram continued, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has made heaven and earth, who has given King David a wise son, endowed with discretion and understanding, who will build a house for the Lord and a royal palace for himself." What a wonderful expression from someone who was not part of the children of Israel, to seek to bless the Lord God. We have another very similar accounting of the blessing that is to be given to God for the wisdom and for the rule of Solomon over the nation of Israel. This is recorded in 1 Kings 10:4 through 9. You might recall it was when the Queen of Sheba came to witness firsthand all that she had been told about the then finished building of the temple and the palace and the rule of Solomon. She was so overwhelmed by the manifested kingship of Solomon that she declared a very similar observation as did Hiram. This was to the fact that the Lord God of Solomon was to be blessed with the choice that Jehovah had made in setting Solomon on the throne of his people. 1 Kings 10:4 through 9. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness." Think about it. These were two foreign sovereigns who recognized what God had done in setting Solomon on the throne after David. As with the statement of Hiram in this morning's passage, we have this exchange secondarily detailed in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 3 through 8. In this passage, we are presented with that greater emphasis given to the blessing that God was receiving in the manifested rule and wisdom of Solomon. And it's always something we need to take to heart. When something is in Scripture once, it's important. When it's twice, it's doubly important, and we need to pay attention. 2 Chronicles 9:3-8. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendants of his ministers in their attire, his cupbearers in their attire, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, she was breathless. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe their reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you, setting you on his throne as king for the Lord your God, because your God loved Israel, establishing them forever. Therefore he made you king over them to do justice and righteousness." One key to both of these rulers' declarations of blessing upon the Lord God of Solomon and of Israel is that it was God who prepared and placed this man on the throne of the people of his blessed nation. It was Jehovah who was to receive the glory for the preparation and the bestowment of his wisdom into the innermost essence of this son of David. Much had taken place for such a man to become the king over the people who belonged to God. Very much was expected of this king in line with that which was demanded for him to rule and to bring forth the Lord's justice and righteousness in the every decision as was so required. Both of these foreign sovereigns were witness to the truth that this was no small thing for Solomon to rule in accordance with the precepts and the wisdom of God in operation moment by moment and day after day. Both of these foreign sovereigns were witness to the truth that this was no small thing. And Solomon had to bring forth the Lord's justice and his righteousness in the every decision that was so required. There was a unique reality evident as Solomon ascended the throne of Israel and ruled with that wisdom and knowledge. It was imperatively understood that he was responsible to God for the walk of his people on this earth. For that, Jehovah was to be blessed forever and forever, as his glory was ascribed and detailed by the way in which his people were so shepherded in love, in wisdom, in compassion, and in honor before the Lord. This type of living relationship with God, evidenced in the wise and just manner of Solomon's decision-making and ordering of the government of the people of God, is in line with what we read in Job 5:8-25. Job 5:8-25, if you would open to it. At least at the beginning of Solomon's reign, he sought to be the conduit of God unto the nation and the response of the people unto God. That was the reason that the building of the temple was so necessary within those initial years of Solomon's kingship. He sought the Lord. He wanted the people of God to have a place where they could meet with Jehovah. It would be here that they would offer the sacrifices and the praises and the humbleness of contrition as under the throne of the Most High and Sovereign Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Please hear how that heart after the Lord is manifested in the passage as we read it. Job 5:8-25. But as for me, I would seek God, and I would place my cause before God, who does great and unsearchable things, wonders without number. He gives rain on the earth and sends water on the field, so that he sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the plotting of the shrewd so that their hands cannot attain success. He captures the wise by their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. By day they meet with darkness and grope at noon as in the night. But he saves from the sword of their mouth and the poor from the hand of the mighty. So the helpless has hope, and unrighteousness must shut its mouth. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and his hands also heal. From six troubles he will deliver you. Even in seven, evil will not touch you. In famine he will redeem you from death, and in war from the power of the sword. You will be hidden from the scourge of the tongue, neither will you be afraid of violence when it comes. You will laugh at violence and famine, neither will you be afraid of wild beasts, for you will be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field will be at peace with you. And you will know that your tent is secure, for you will visit your abode and fear no loss. You will know also that your descendants will be many, and your offspring as the grass of the earth. The fullness of the obedient walk with the Lord throughout our sojourn on this earth manifests the fact that we will have those times when he deals with us in a manner that will work to cause us to have to trust him more and more. He is great and marvelous and unfathomable in the every dealing of his righteousness and his justice and his peace and his sovereignty. Nothing that God does is random and without a perfect purpose in the unveiling of his plans and his will in action. He is unsearchable in the measure of his so great and so awesome love. Yet those who seek him will find him as he lavishes his saving grace manifestly upon each one. As we have often mentioned, his will is always done. He does frustrate the every scheme and plot of those who would try to stop what he has put into motion. All of this causes his people, those who belong fully to him and who are part of his family, to walk in the surety and the comfort of knowing that Jehovah goes before us. He has us well in his hands. This is what was in place in the kingship of Solomon, as recognized by those two earthly sovereigns. They declared that the Lord God Almighty was to be blessed for his tremendous placement of Solomon upon the throne of Israel, in the manifestation of such wisdom and righteousness and justice. It was all accounted unto God and for His glory to be magnified as this son of David ruled over his nation. The joy of the people coming together into the presence of the Lord in His temple, the temple that was built by Solomon then and is now ours in Jesus Christ, is highlighted by the psalmist in Psalm 122. The entire psalm declares the wonder and the amazement, the joy of the people coming into both the city and the house of the Lord that was built. There was this recognition that it was there that the righteous judgment of the Lord would proceed throughout the dealings of the people with both their religious and their governmental leaders. Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. For their thrones are set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. It was realized that the people needed to keep the leadership of each of these fundamental governing systems in prayer unto the Lord. By coming together before Him, the nation was adhering to the desire to fully and foundationally bless the Lord by proclaiming the peace of God in the seeking of that which was good and was right in the sight of Jehovah. This is what would establish that peace of the nation and the goodness of Yahweh within the city of Jerusalem, as it was the early representation of the kingdom of God on earth. This regard for God's kingdom and the entire essential heart after the peace and the goodness of the Lord was bemoaned in Psalm 137, verses 1 through 6. This was by that remnant of Jews who had been taken into captivity in Babylon when Jerusalem was overrun. That had taken place because of the adulterous and the idolatrous behavior of the later generations of the Jews. This yearning for the city of Jerusalem and the blessing of God within the leadership and His temple was doubly stinging as those captives were mocked and harassed by the Babylonians. Psalm 137, 1 through 6. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Upon the willows in the midst of it we hung our harps, for there our captors demanded of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget her skill. May my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. This distress brought to mind the former glory of God that was seen by so many in the building and the wisdom of Solomon. This remembrance was of the evidence of the Lord God Almighty being fully blessed and worshiped with the testimony of what was right and true and just and altogether lovely. The witness of the kingdoms now was no longer set on the glory of God, but to the shame and to the ridicule of a people who had turned their back and their hearts upon Him. We will continue with this consideration as it deals with the matter of the Father and the Son in line with God's plans and purposes. This will be next week, Lord willing. So be it. And it came about when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced great, said, "Blessed be the Lord today who has given to David a wise son over this great people." Amen.